Good morning, everybody. This is Fred Meissner with the Fred Report conference call for December 30th, 2010, the last conference call of 2010, as unbelievable as that sounds to me. We'll be a little short. I know it's holiday time, and there certainly is not a lot going on in the markets right now. So let's take a look at the stock market. And I guess the first thing I would say is obviously we're still drifting up a little bit. We seem to manage to close higher every day after some chopping around. You know, this will put my monthly Fred's price oscillator in an overbought position. There's a lot of conflicting views out there as to what the first part of the year could bring. We just continue to see some concerns. Sentiment, leadership is a concern. The tech sector seems to be lagging a little bit. We saw Elaine Garzarelli on TV talking up the market and stuff. Usually we don't see her until the market's been going up for a while. For sure, it looks like we're going to have some sector rotation. We're a bit light now on technology after having been positive for the last 2 years. The other thing I would say is it looks to me like we're going to see some better action in the big caps relative to the small caps next year. So if I were positioning money in here, I would be positioning a little bit more in big caps rather than small caps. The idea being, even if we do get a sharp pullback early in the year, big caps should outperform small caps, and they should also outperform small caps on the way back up. In terms of the January effect, we have a couple of stocks we'll give you guys for January effect type stocks, but the January effect is not likely this year. It's been a strong year, which means less effect, and frankly, the most beat-up sector, financials, has already rallied a bit, and some of those stocks indeed have rallied up to targets. So we'll talk about them when we get to the stock section of the call, and we'll talk a little bit about sectors. But I'm not looking for a big January effect type move this year. In terms of the bond market, the TLT looks like we are set up for a decent short-term rally here, probably on the TLT up to 96 to 98. Not a huge move, and we do remain long-term bond bears, but there's a nice gap in the 97.50 to 98 area that could be filled. We see an up month there, and that might also have to do with a little bit of market turbulence coming along in here. Again, yeah, we're not in a sell everything mode in the stock market. We are more, let's be cautious, let's be defensive, snug your stops up. If this thing does start to slip, it could be a decent slip, and we want to be able to deploy money lower. Commodities still look fine to us. We think that next year is going to be a good year for commodities, that the commodities market is going to actually be where most of the action is, commodity-related stocks, materials, and industrials, that sort of thing, because we think next year we're going to see inflation finally win. And if that's the case, the DVC is going to be a good place to be. Oil and oil stocks are probably going to be a good place to be. The seasonality, the positive seasonality in commodities ends at the end of January, however, so we could see some pullback in those areas after that. In terms of the international markets, we're seeing some weakness. If you look at charts of the EEM, you look at charts of the EFA, and you look at some of the other areas, you're seeing substantially below the November highs. We actually think what's going to happen is some money's going to come out of emerging markets and come back to the U.S. as well as out of some of the developed markets in Europe. That's going to come back to the U.S., and what that could cause and what we think that's going to cause is commodities and the dollar rallying together next year. Remember, guys, commodities have their own fundamentals, as does the dollar. When you're in a weak economic period, often commodities will trade inversely, but when the economy starts to get stronger, you'll see these commodities trading on their own fundamentals and the dollar sort of split off. They do not have to move together. In terms of stocks, we have three January effect stocks that look like they're worth playing. The first one is SNV, Synovus Banks, at 271. Financials have rallied. This has rallied a bunch off of its bottom, but the stock is a nice long base on the weekly chart, and in fact could probably get up and test the 330 to 360, let's say, in the next little bit of time. Cisco, attractive fundamental technology stock but has been beaten down, has also started to rally a little bit early. Resistance on Cisco is in the 2160 to 2240 area. That stock could also get a little bit of a bounce here. And DF, Dean Foods, which is a little bit more of a staple in the food stock, it's also popped off its lows. Currently around 850, the stock looks like it could test the 950 to 10 area. And again, if you want to play these as January effect stocks, that's probably okay. Taking a look at stocks like Apple, Apple has started to weaken a little bit. It's higher than it was in, you know, the November period, but not by much. It has been a leader. It's no longer leading. We actually have concerns about Apple into the first of the year that stock may sell off. It's not in our sector report as a favorable technology stock. We may add it. Two that are, one is Oracle. That stock has had a great move here into the end of the year. A lot of support on Oracle in the 28 to 30 area. We think the stock will hold that even on a correction and be a leading stock for at least the first part of next year in technology. The same with IBM. Again, if European money starts to come into the United States, it's going to go into some of these big names, some of the staples names as well, names like IBM, names like DuPont, things like that that have done well into the end of the year. In terms of some of the financials, we had picked Bank of America to try to rally from 11 to 1320. It's basically done that. I think this stock is probably through going down. The question is, are we going to see a lot of upward movement in the stock easily? Resistance on this stock is right here to 1440 to 15. I have no reason to sell out of this stock, but if I were looking to buy a market leader, I probably wouldn't buy this until I see a little bit more. The same with BB&T. It's probably my favorite of the bank stocks. It's got a decent yield on it. As long as it stays above 24.50, it's okay, and I could see this stock making it back to 28 to 30 ultimately. It doesn't look terrible, but they're kind of at short-term targets now. We've had some questions on a couple of the financial ETFs. UIG rallying a little bit here. We think that thing can make it into the 68 to 70 area. Again, no reason to sell it, but it's not a big looking, you know, play for us short term. Decent bases, but they're at resistance. The same with FAS, another one of those names, which we were asked about. FAS looks like it could try to get to 28.5 to maybe 29. Nothing really wrong with it, but I think a lot of the potential is out of it. That does it for the stock section of the call. It's been a pretty slow week. I will pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz and see if there's any questions in from the rest of you guys.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Fine, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty good. Hey, quick question for you. Can you take a look at the NDX and pull up a weekly chart on that? And okay, it's very interesting because it's getting really close to taking out its 2007 high, which is
absolutely,
which is something that no one is talking about. And also, just take a look at one other chart for me real quickly, and then I'll ask you my question. Look at the mid-cap MID. That's getting close.
That has actually made new all-time highs.
The which?
The mid-cap. The MDY has, anyway.
Yeah, but the MID is lagging just a little bit. It hasn't quite made that new high. So
it will make a new closing high today.
You what?
It's actually making new closing highs today.
Okay, as we talk right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, super explosive looking indexes. I think these indexes can double from here.
Okay, so that's my question for you. So for next year, you talk about large cap, but these things are almost back at their highs. Do you think they get through their highs really quickly, or do you think that they're going to struggle at these highs? What's kind of your thought process on these two indexes?
I think in the next week we break out decisively to new highs and then turn around and sell off.
In other words, I would sell that move. Okay. Now, let's...
But I do think in the next couple of years, these are going to be very, very good places to be. I think technology will continue to be a leading sector after any sort of pullback.
Okay. Now, let's go to another one to just take a look at. Let's look at the BIX, the banking index, or even like RKH or XLF. And these things, it's like a tale of two cities, right? I mean, these things are so far away from their 07 highs. What is your thought process on that? I mean, obviously, it's going to take a hell of a lot of up for the financials to get back to their prior highs.
Well, I guess the first thing, let's talk about the financial stock indexes and the collapse that they had versus the NASDAQ in 2000.
Yep, that's great.
Because there's a real big difference in my mind between the two, and that is most of the NASDAQ stocks in 2000, many of those NASDAQ stocks had absolutely no value in them from the get-go. I mean, stocks like CMGI, which I'm sure we remember. I bought CMGI last year for old time's sake at 50 cents, just before it went bankrupt. Just because I played it at 400 and wanted to play it again at 50 cents. But the financial stocks did have value and still actually do have real earnings and real value and real markets. The question is, obviously, after you have the kind of debacle that you've had, what normally happens with an index like this? And, you know, most of these stocks are probably still going to see some digesting. A lot of the earnings power and the ability to leverage their earnings is gone. But these have real, you know, value and real market share. So my guess is the recovery is going to take less than the 8 or 9 years that it's really taken technology stocks to seem to be recovering and turning into a leading sector again. The other thing to remember about the NASDAQ, though, by the way, Jeff, and this is something I actually would be interested in. I need to do some research on this. I believe something like two-thirds of the stocks in the NASDAQ 100 have actually been replaced from 2000. They're no longer the same names. That's not going to happen with the financial index. They're not going to simply say, okay, Bank of America and Citigroup are out, and we're going to put new stocks in. So those indexes are going to stay the same. For me, the XLF has got to get above 18 to look really, really like we're going to see that be a leading sector. 18 is actually a pretty big move from here. It's over 10%. The other question one has is from a fundamental perspective, and I'm not a fundamentalist, but when is all of this toxic paper that these guys still have on their books going to start to expire? And from what I hear in terms of talking to people, it's probably going to be another 4 to 5 years before all that paper goes away completely. The good news is that paper is now expiring every month, and it's not defaulting, a lot of it, and the leverage is gone. But the bad news is there's still a whole slew of it getting ready to mature.
Right. Okay. Good. That's a really good, I think, answer to that. Can you talk a little bit again about China? Because I keep asking about it, and it still continues to struggle. Any thoughts on FXI here?
Well, I mean, China is obviously trying to fight inflation, and inflation, we all know, really out of control inflation is bad for stock prices. And so I think that's part of what we're seeing, and I think we're also going to start seeing questions about whether the Chinese are going to have a hard landing or a soft landing to their inflationary problem. But I think the overall thing to notice when you look at China, when you look at Singapore, when you look at Malaysia, all these things are now underperforming the United States after having been big outperformers for much of last year. And what that's telling me is you're going to see a situation where some of this money starts to come back to the United States. I think that means we're going to have a better than expected year in the United States versus these other markets around the world. And Jeff, that's the other thing. That's why I'm saying big caps have a chance to do a lot better than people think. Because if this money comes back, a lot of it's going to initially go in the large cap names that everybody knows.
Right. Two more questions and I'll open it up for people. First question for you is, both MasterCard and Visa got hit pretty hard on this concept that the Fed is going to reduce the amount of cents that they can charge on debit cards, and these stocks are, you know, have sold off again pretty good on that news, trying to recover here a little bit, but they're still both well off of their all-time highs. I mean, I'm talking, you know, 40%+. And then American Express doesn't have the same exact problem, but it got hit on similar type concerns. So can you comment on those three charts and what you see for 2011 on those names?
Yeah. I'm looking at American Express right now, and it does look a little bit better as long as it stays above 37.50 to 40. That's overall a much better chart than Visa is. So that's one of the names that I would probably buy in this group if I were looking for stocks to buy in the credit card group. Visa looks a little bit icky to me. MasterCard looks a little bit less icky to me, and I think it's got support in the 207 to 216 area, and that may actually be a good tax loss bounce because it has sold off right into here. My favorite stock in this group is actually one you didn't mention, and there's a caveat here, people. I own this one myself. Is DFS, Discover Financial Services. That's a very nice-looking chart in this area, and it seems to be the big outperformer, although it looks like it could settle back down into the 1760 to 1720 area short-term. It's been a better long-term performer this year. But again, you know, if the XLF can get itself above 18, I'm going to probably look at upgrading that from an underweight to an equal weight. Otherwise, I'm afraid I'm going to have to stay underweight most of these financials here.
Great. Last question for you is, I've been kind of reading year-end stuff. There's a fair number of economists who obviously are not very good at predicting direction on things, but they're calling for like a good first half of the year, you know, a tougher second half of the year. And in your kind of thoughts on the market heading in the next year, you're expecting a tougher stock price performance from the first half and a lot of the gains coming more in the second half. Do you think that the reason, one of the reasons for the potential weakness in the first half is, you know, the stock market typically looks ahead. It's a leading, not lagging indicator. So if we do get that weakness in the second half, it may be discounted 6 months ahead, which is why we get that weakness in the first half. And then 2012, things accelerate again to the upside. Just thoughts on that, because it seems like a fair number of economists are kind of calling for that.
Yeah, it looks to me much more like we're going to have a little bit of trouble in the first part of the year. And let me try to be clear exactly why I'm saying that. It looks to me like the market has really rallied up, and some of these stocks have really rallied up, anticipating a good economy in the first part of the year. So if we see really good economic numbers and the market starts to sell off a little bit, that is more in line. That would be in line with what I was thinking, and make it a lot harder as an investing environment for the average fellow trying to invest. It'll be a little bit more perplexing. But if we do get that sell-off, I think we look really strong in the next year, because I really do think we're seeing some real good, strong indications of economic recovery. There was an article on MarketWatch last week suggesting the GDP is back at 2007 levels already, and we still got 9 to 10% unemployment. If that unemployment rate falls to 8%, like some of the economists are predicting, we could see a much stronger than expected economy in the last part of the year next year. And the other thing that could do would be to cause some inflation as capacity gets used and as demand for commodities accelerates around the world. And if we start to see inflation and people take that as a sign that the housing market is going to recover, and when I look at stocks like Lennar short term, it looks like those guys are starting to really shrug off all the bad housing news we've seen lately. If we see real estate look like it's going to start to recover, Jeff, this market could really go. Because I think that's still one of the big concerns in everyone's mind, is that we're going to have a deflationary problem. And if it begins to look like there's no way we're going to have that, I think this market can really go.
Great. One question I actually just got hit on IM from someone was on Google. Thoughts on Google as we enter the next year?
You know, the stock has come down and filled its gap and rallied up to resistance and rolled over. And right or wrong, guys, I'm looking for technology to sell off in the first part of the year and not being a leading sector for the first few months of the year. I will be trying to buy Google at 520 to 540 for our trading list and or for the sector report. Currently, the stock is at 598, so that would be a nice drop in Google were we to get that. Like they said, the guy said, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Any move above 620 on Google, I think, would suggest that the stock is really going to go. This is a name that the long-term picture on is pretty decent, but the short-term looks a little bit squirrely, which, by the way, is the same case I'm in Apple. Apple, I think, is a great long-term chart, and if I could buy that stock at 280 to 287 again, I would very happily do it, and my accumulation model that I ran on Apple suggests that I'm going to be able to do that. So, you know, I'm looking for dips in these tech leaders in the first part of the year, and that would include Google.
Hey, Fred, kind of an extension of this question, then I will open it up, because you made me think about something here. So if you look at the NDX 100, which we talked about as the first kind of comment question, that it's getting back near its 2007 highs, and clearly the stock that's driven it has been Apple because it's, you know, the biggest stock on a market cap basis. Mm-hmm. But then if we look at the next three biggest names, you've got Microsoft at $239 billion, Oracle at $159 billion, and then right under that, Google at $150 billion. If we get the large cap move you're expecting in Microsoft and Oracle, which have been, you know, especially Microsoft being an underperformer, and Google does get its act together after going through this consolidation period and you buy it back down to that 530 area, could that be really the catalyst that gets the NDX to really take off?
Absolutely, yes. There's two fights going on here. Obviously, I think technology in the second part of next year is going to be a leading sector, and that would imply that these stocks are all going to go. The other thing that's interesting here is traditionally small caps and the NASDAQ lead coming out of recessions. They lead for an average of 2 years. It will be 2 years in March of 2011. So, yeah, but I think you're going to see outperformance on the part of the NASDAQ and mid-cap in the latter part of the year next year. And, you know, Jeff, you raised the point on the mid-cap, something which I've been saying before. We're almost at all-time highs on this, and nobody's saying a word about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is, to me, that's exactly what happened in 2003, 2004. Okay, and those indexes went 40% above their highs that they made in the prior bull market. So, you know, we could still see that that's an area you want to be in. The only area that really my accumulation models are suggesting is going to be a real problem is comparatively is going to be small caps. The small caps themselves might not do as well here as some of these, as the mid and large cap indexes. That's what I'm really thinking for next year.
Great. Excellent, excellent dialogue, Fred. Just to summarize the year, I think you've done an awesome job this year in terms of, you know, kind of your prognostications about the markets. And obviously you've got a defined process, so that's what really helps. So at this point, I'd like to just open up the call. Any questions, remember to hit star 6 for Fred. Well, Fred, if we have no questions, since it's a light work day, I'll just turn it back to you to finish up.
Hey, Fred, this is Tom. Okay. I'm sorry, I bopped in late. Apologize. Just one more time, give me those levels you got for BAC, UIG, and FAS.
Sure.
I know you said they've rallied through, and you then commented on some resistance areas.
Sure. First of all, Bank of America had a very good short-term target, which was a gap that occurred in the stock from a low of 1325 to a high of 1303. That was back in the October 13th time period of last year. And basically, our first target was to fill that gap, and that's happened. Our second targets on Bank of America would probably be in the 15 area, 1440 to 1520, let's say. And if we see the stock up there, let's do some email correspondence. I know we've talked a little bit about a client that's had some problems in there. On the UIG, you know, it is on the weekly chart at resistance here, 66 to 68. If it can get through here, the next big resistance is probably 72. My guess is it's going to slow here, probably get to 68 to 70 on the UIG. And on FAS, which is another one of these, resistance is 28, which we're very close to, to 30, and if we can get through 30, maybe 3180 to 3250.
Thank you very much, and thanks for everything this year, Fred.
Yeah, Fred, Don Montgomery, one more question.
Hey, Don, sure, as many as you all want.
Okay, Microsoft, do you see that kind of playing out with your technology scenario here, selling off with the rest of them?
You know, it hasn't rallied as much as some of the other ones. If it goes down halfway into the big up bar that it had on December 3rd week, where it moved from 2493 to 2706 in 1 week, and I think we played that. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
This stock had moved back to, say, 26 to 2610. Not a huge move, but a decent move. And frankly, if it were to do that and it looked like it was setting up to me for a buy, I would be very, very interested in buying this because this stock could have a much better year than anyone expects next year, especially if European money starts coming into this market.
Okay. Also, does it look like it's really quite topped yet, or does it need a little more work?
You know, I would stay with this, and Don, you know, I guess the thing, if I were trading Microsoft right now, I would, and trading anything right now, I would hope that I'm wrong on the market. We do not have a market sell signal. We've got all sorts of caution signals, but no real giant sell signal. I'd probably put a stop in on this around 2760, which is not that far away from here, 2750, 2760. And on at least part of my position, and let's hope the stock can rally back up to 28.29 again, 28.40.29. That could happen.
Okay. And again, thanks for all the great calls this year.
So thank you, guys. Believe me, I couldn't do it without you guys, and I appreciate it. And Don, especially you, you've been a lot of fun to email with and such.
Fred, Phil Williams, FLV.
Yeah. Which one?
FLV, silver ETF.
FLV, yeah. Silver still looks pretty good, but you've got a big resistance bar in here right at 30 on SLV, which was the daily down move on 12.7. A pullback to 28 on SLV would not be huge and would be, I think, a good buying opportunity. I do think commodities can run into the first couple of weeks of January anyway. So I would stick with this. Your problem is you do have a little bit of a gap around 2840. So you've got to put any stops below there. Let's say if we see this around 30.5 to 31 and the market starts to look a little bit squirrely the end of the first week in January, I'd consider selling some of this. The other problem, by the way, that SLV is pointing out is it's acting stronger than gold now, and that suggests that after the rest of the seasonal strength in the commodities, that all these metals are going to pause a little bit. Other questions? I can't believe Jeff doesn't have a question. Jeff Kluge. Ah, he's probably finally taking a day off. Guy works very hard. In any event, guys, I think that'll do it. Anything else? Okay. I want to...
Yeah.
Sorry, was that someone?
Yeah, Fred, but can you take a look at a couple of the natural gas pipelines, CPNO and NDP.
Okay.
DPM and CPNO.
DPN. These continue to look very strong and hit new highs. I would obviously stay with them. The next real resistance on CPNO comes in on the monthly chart around 34.5 to 35 and then 36, but it looks like we're going to get up there. And then DPN?
M as in Mary.
M as in Mary. It's the same sort of chart, 40 area resistance, and these should continue to rally with commodity strength into at least the first, second week of January.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, then we're going to basically wish everyone a happy, safe new year, and we'll see you next year. Ha, ha, ha. I always love saying that. This will end the Fred Report conference call for December 30th, 2010. Thank you very much.